The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And, you know, I hate that this 4-12 football team is dominating the news today. Yesterday, now listen, is the whole thing stupid? We got Astros baseball that's kicking the Red Sox ass. Another 8-3 win yesterday. We got to talk about Odorizzi. We got to talk about Altuve and Correa. And we got to talk about everything that's going on. Jordan hitting, looking wonderful at the plate again. But we got to talk about this Texans crap. And it's just, if you haven't heard yet, I don't know if you have. If you're a sports fan.
I think
a lot
of people haven't heard because late last night, a lot of people didn't know. If you're not just on Twitter all the time.
Well, it happened yesterday around noon. So
yeah, but it could pass you unless you're on Twitter. Yeah,
no.
Because it was not a mainstream news topic.
Listen, I was listening all over the dial yesterday because I wanted to hear. And oh my God, the feigned outrage of how pissed off everybody is about this. If you haven't heard yet. David Culley, who's a junkie, well, he's not really a junkie. He's a junkie for Mexican food. But Dell continues to ruin the man's name, okay? He continues that, his campaign, to ruin Bo Culley's name.
I'm going
to
tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
Dell seems to think that they're taking minicamp off because he's got to go to rehab. But that...
Do we know if he had a relapse or not?
So, if you haven't heard yet, so the Texans had their OTAs. They've been there for a few weeks. They had great attendance. Not 100% attendance, because Deshaun is still on the roster.
Right.
So, if you haven't heard yet, yesterday, Coach Culley, we like to call him Bo, he met the media, and the very first question by John McClain was, what'd you think of how did it go with OTAs? And what are you going to do with minicamp? And here was Coach Culley's response.
What we did a month ago is we had our team leaders earlier in the offseason came to an agreement that it was more important for us to make sure that we had as many people as we needed to be here possible to be able to learn what we're doing. And with that being said, that we would forego the mini camp because we felt like that was more important. And that's why we decided not to do the mini camp, because our attendance has been great for us here. We've got to accomplish what we wanted to get accomplished. We felt like that getting them here was more important than being able to just have those 2.5 days of mini camp. And we feel like we got that done.
All right, so a couple of things here. First of all, he was using his outside voice when he said he was negotiating with players, which is...
Why you would say that out loud, I have no idea.
I don't know either.
We met with team leadership. We met with player leadership and reached an agreement to skip minicamp. Reaching an agreement with team... what does team leadership on the Texans mean? Who is that?
Who are the team leaders? That's a good question.
Number two,
Zach Cunningham.
Why are you skipping? Why are you making agreements with them too, with this 4-win team? And number three, why are you in the midst of having a brand new staff, new rollouts for offense, new players integrating into
more
the team?
More than half the team.
Why in the world would you like?
Yeah.
Now the Colts did it and the Eagles did it. Two other teams also canceled.
No, 49ers have canceled too.
Oh, 49ers too.
Yeah.
All right, Colts, 49ers, and Eagles. Now. You know, Colts are a pretty good team, and they're pretty much the same team. Eagles.
They got a new coach.
They got a quarterback that's trying to get integrated.
You know,
that's their business, I guess. 49ers, I could see. They've got a lot of the same pieces in place, whatever. But I just know this team specifically. You know, this team had a problem with making deals. All I'll say is they had to make a deal with Laremy Tunsil. I heard they had to make a deal with Laremy Tunsil to get him to practice and and do what they wanted him
they
to
should
do.
They should have made a deal with D-Hop.
I know this.
Why couldn't they make a deal with D-Hop?
They did make a deal with D-Hop.
No, and they traded him because he didn't want to.
I was told 3 years in a row he didn't practice.
Yeah.
No, they had a deal with him, and it caused...
He broke it.
It caused problems. Yeah. That was a mistake making that deal with D-Hop. Let me just tell you that.
He didn't have to.
It caused a problem throughout the team where all these guys didn't want to practice anymore. And it was a big issue. And that's one of the... They made a deal with him. They made a deal with Clowney. And before you know it, you start making deals with players, then nobody wants to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa had that problem before Bruce Arians came in. They were making deals with veterans like... who's the guy with Brent Grimes with the crazy wife? Brent Grimes. But then the rookies are like, well, if he didn't have to practice, I don't want to practice. And they started showing, Carlton Davis started showing up in all the time in the training room with these fake injuries and stuff because he didn't want to have to practice as a rookie. So it is a slippery slope when you, especially with today's player, if you tell a guy that one guy doesn't have to practice, you get special deals with him. They don't really handle it as well as in the past. So, but Laremy Tunsil, the highest paid left tackle, I was told had to have special deals made for him so that he would practice. That's a bad, bad, bad look.
Mm-hmm.
You gave him everything he wanted. You way overpaid him, and then you have to make deals. That's when you lose total control as a coaching staff. You lose control from a discipline standpoint. Not surprising he gets so many penalties. There's no discipline on the team. There hasn't been. So this is just more of the same. You got to make, and I guarantee you there is a chance that Jack was behind this because he's a big leadership council guy, likes to meet with leadership council. He tried to save his job, and then that's when Laremy said, bleep you, I'm not sticking up for you.
Yeah.
That's when the whole Nick Caserio stuff started when he had to
is Laremy Tunsil a leader anyway? I mean, when you got to coerce the guy to practice,
if he's on the leadership council, that's
for
the
sure
problem.
They say, we don't want a mini camp. So there are a lot of different layers to this thing. One is, okay, this is a team with all these new coaches, all these new players. They need as much work as possible. But listen, I mean, I've hearing so much outrage.
What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, everybody is so. Oh my God! How could this team, a 4-win team, I'm outraged by that. Listen, they ain't gonna win nothing anyway. It's 2.5 more days of practice. Yeah, do they need it? Absolutely. But was it gonna make a difference in what in week one when they get their ass handed to them, or week four they're 1-3 or 0-4? No, so these 2.5 days. Do they need it? Yes, absolutely. They need it. Is it going to make a difference in this season? Nah. If they go to 2.5 days of minicamp, they're still going to suck. You know why? Because they don't have any talent.
That's not what I care. I care about setting a standard. And that's my big problem is that you have a brand new coach. This just shows you he's not going to be long for this team.
He didn't make this decision.
Doesn't matter who made the decision.
Nick Caserio made this decision.
You think Nick
did? No, you don't think they let Bo Cully decide whether or not they're going to practice, do you?
I don't. I mean, maybe not, but maybe.
No.
He's
not making any decisions.
He's clear. Then he's easily the least powerful head coach in football.
In football. Well, is that even arguable?
Because that is a decision that is made by the head coach. That's not made. Ballard doesn't make that decision. Well, you know, I don't know. That depends on how strong the GM is. Like Bill O'Brien would have made that decision, Brian Gain.
Even
with Brian Gain, even with Rick Smith, he would have made that decision.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the strong, clearly strong GM is the model here. So, yeah, you're right. That might have been Nick Caserio's call, which would still be a little bit unusual. But I think, you know, it almost feels like you're just trying to love up the players. Like, hey, guys, we all friends? Is this okay?
Yeah, and again, I think you're going from the strong-handed Bill O'Brien, mean, you know, not a great players guy, to a guy who's trying to be, coddle is the word.
You can do both, though. You can set a standard. Here's what I would have done. Had him come back and then cut it short after 2 days. Say, you know what? You guys have been great. We're not even doing a third day.
Let's go bowling.
Here's our standard.
Yeah.
Here's our standard. But you know what? You guys have been great. Because you don't want to do it after one day, because it's like, why we come back for some guys come back for what? You do 2 days, and then the third day is a fun day, a team bonding day.
Right.
That would have been a lot better.
Now, and here's the thing too, is you didn't need to make a deal with these guys. Half your team is new, and there's really Name the guys that are locked into their position that are incontrovertible, there's no question that they're a starter. Maybe Zach Cunningham. Tunsil for sure. He's a starter no matter what. Where's Titus Howard? I mean, there are so many guys. We don't know who's going to be on the field. So everybody was going to show up for the OTAs anyway.
Well, it's most a new of them, head like coach. Mark Ingram wasn't there, I don't think. That's why
I think Mark Ingram might be hurt.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think he's in the training room. He would show up.
Well, there were some guys that I just didn't see, and that's probably what it was. They just didn't show up. Because it was technically voluntary.
When you're a new guy on the team, you gotta bust your ass.
Was Larry Tunsil there, do you know?
I
couldn't see him on the when I was there, like
the old line. They didn't tell you what number he was, remember? They wouldn't tell anybody what number anybody was.
No, we had a.
They finally made one.
Yeah, a sheet after complaints. Yes.
Yeah, after complaints, they finally did. So listen, but they had great attendance. But even you know what, Laramie Tunsil doesn't show up. Oh well, so what? All of the new guys and all of the guys that are fighting for positions. Yeah, I'm going to skip OTAs. Really? No chance.
Nah, not on this team.
Not on that way. No way. Because I want to get on the field. And I'm a new coaching staff. I'm going to tell them I don't feel like being there for when everybody else is there. No. So everybody was going to come, was going to show up anyway. So you didn't have to negotiate anything with anybody. Oh, well, we wanted to get as much attendance as possible at the OTAs. You already were. Everybody was coming anyway because they're trying to make an impression on a new coaching staff. So that's kind of – the whole thing is kind of dumb that we're negotiating with players. But I think this wants to be a team-friendly, player-friendly staff. And I think, you know, maybe this is why – and we're negotiating with players and we decided that, you know, we had the leadership – listen, the leadership council, first of all, said we don't want to practice is kind of stupid. You're a four-win team. That you should be out there. And if you're a leader with a bunch of new guys, you should be telling them, guys, we need to work let's take as much time off as possible.
Can I tell you what one of the team leaders said? Longtime veteran? I'll tell you right now. The decision came after Cully and team leaders felt the organization had great attendance and accomplished their goals during the four-week voluntary organized team activities period. Now, it was 4 weeks. An objective both parties agreed upon a little over a month ago. Houston's three-day mandatory minicamp was set for June 15th through the 17th. Here's a quote by a longtime leader, Philip Lindsay, who's been in the league like 4 years.
And he's new to the team. Yeah.
There are new players on this team, but a lot of us have been in the league for a long time. Like I said, Lindsay came in the league like 17, I think.
Yeah, well, a long time. For a running back?
For running back, I mean, that's kind of long, said Philip Lindsay. I think we did a great job of coming together, and we have a veteran-heavy team. People already knew what they needed to know, and we know what we need to do in order to have a successful team, which is to go to another team.
How many winning seasons has Phil Bunsey been a part of in football? In college, the NFL, I think he
had
knows
a couple, kind of.
He knows close. What it takes to have a winning team. Does he have a long string of success on the NFL level?
He's
been with the Broncos since 18.
What were their records?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Let's figure out how he knows about winning in the NFL. I don't feel like he knows a lot about it.
He beat the Texans. They were up 31-3 at the half.
Here are the players who did not attend OTA, some noticeable players. Obviously, Deshaun, Titus Howard, Laramie Tunsil, Whitney Merciless, Zach Cunningham. Isn't that the leadership council?
I would think Zach Cunningham would be on the leadership.
Well, they don't get a say-so. They're not even here. Well, so who did you meet with? The new leadership council of Shaq Lawson, who I don't know if Shaq was here, but Shaq Lawson, Philip Lindsay, just new guys who've never even been here.
How can Whitney Merciless take off? And, oh, by the way, Lovie Smith was talking about how good Whitney Merciless looked. He was talking about Whitney. There's quotes of him. Oh, maybe, Whitney's going to be great. Whitney's lost weight. Whitney's going to be awesome. He's going to be able to.
Maybe he could tell from Zoom
and Instagram videos that Whitney put out there. Before we go, I just want to tell you the records for Philip Lindsay as a pro because he knows so much about winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
In his 2018, when he was drafted, the Broncos went 6-10.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2019, they went 7-9, and last year they went 5-11. So a long string of winning in the NFL by Philip Lindsay. So he knows.
He knows what it takes.
Yes. Well, but you're okay. But he knows about winning from his college days, maybe.
Does he? Was Colorado really successful?
Yeah.
Was it?
Well,
was it,
I can
though?
Take a look here.
Are you though?
We'll bring you Philip Lindsay's right. college record.
Yeah, on the other side. Hey, we're talking Astros baseball on the other side. Okay,
because this team last year.
This team doesn't deserve the first segment. This team, and especially. Listen, was it a dumb? Yeah, but it's, all this outrage by people though is just.
I want to hit on that a little bit more when we come back. But really, the Astros are the headline.
They're the headline, and then as well they should be. So we'll do that on the other side. Right now, though, it's GiveMeTheVin.com. Before, if John Clay Wolf does come on here, I got to tell you that this commercial is actually about GiveMeTheVin.com, because when John Clay Wolf comes on, I don't know why, but it doesn't seem like we're able to talk about that much. He likes to talk about other things. Like, I don't know, hookers and blow and all kinds of things that he likes to talk about, kids, that you shouldn't talk about on a radio or actually ever talk about that stuff. I mean, let's face it. The stuff that he says, it is definitely not something you should bring to school with you. So here's the deal. When mom and dad want to sell the car, you tell them, well, I heard that Mr. John Clay Wolf, but he wasn't talking about buying your car. He was talking about stuff that was inappropriate. That's right. But you should still sell him your car because you will get more money for it, mom and dad, for GiveMeTheVin.com. Because John Clay Wolf pays more at GiveMeTheVin.com. And if he can't beat CarMax, he'll send you $100. If he can't beat your dealer's offer, he'll send you $100. That's a guarantee that you're going to get the most for your car at GiveMeTheVin.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Bregman drives one deep to left field, all the way back, and gone! Home run caught by an Astros fan in the monster seats. A Breggy bomb at Fenway, and the Astros lead 8-3.
How about that? Were you there when he hit the homer off Chris Sale in the playoffs? No. Was I? Yes. Was that not
only
one
of
the great
Richie
moments
Riches.
In baseball history?
And yes. I would like to point out that was brought to you by AT&T Sportsnet. That's kind
yeah,
of
we don't
a
care.
Thing. Well, that's kind of a thing we're supposed to do.
Oh, never mind.
Credit
Who cares
the,
about that?
Credit the
Charlie always does that. Never mind. Charlie does it for us.
You mean the most professional person here who does
yeah.
that? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one who does
it. And who
the
will
right
give
way?
You we give you the opposing team's announcer because he went to Syracuse.
Well, they all did.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So. Charlie does that for us. We don't do that. Charlie does that.
That was one of the. That was a home run. Altuve had one. Yeah, yep. One early. Then hit the ball well, and then didn't get a hit the rest of the game. 1-6. I mean, it was the Astros rained terror on the Red Sox starting pitcher. Evaldi was having some real issues. I mean, he had a hot fastball, but
well, he's always got a hot fastball.
But the Astros just started raking it. I mean, they hit him hard. They hit all the Red Sox hard, and they had a little run in the. So they got a run because of a drop ball, a confusion between center fielder, right fielder. Ball dropped in. Who was that who went to second base? Was it Yuli who went to second? And then the jam job on Straw. Straw got it down the right field line on a little duck snort, as they used to call it, and it bounced into the cue balled, hit in in fair territory. Bounced into the stands, and so they got their first run because of an error in center field between the center fielder and right fielder. And then in the next inning, it was like, huh. And I almost wondered if that would start to hurt Evaldi's confidence a little bit, and it may have because I mean he got blistered in the next inning. The next inning, he had damn near 30 pitches, I think, in that neighborhood. He gave up four runs then.
Yep,
and. The Astros are just hitting the ball hard, and they were stringing together hits when they put the four runs on.
17.
Yep.
17 and 8 runs, which is a bunch of left on base still, but you'll absolutely take it. They were knocking it all over the park. Yuli looks great.
Two more for Carlos, and you know they got a real decision to make right now. You move Carlos? Carlos has been hitting.
You ain't moving Carlos. That's
You're not going to move Uncle Mike back. I would keep Carlos there too.
Yeah, no.
Because Michael Brantley's going to hit wherever you. It doesn't matter where you put.
Oh, you mean move him? I thought you said trade him.
The line? No. The line. Number two.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's probably you move him back when it's a righty, and you put Brantley back in the two.
But why? He's seeing. You got Altuve hitting the ball.
Yeah, well, he faced a righty yesterday, and he stayed in the
two-hole. He's been hitting there. You see,
Mike had three hits, though.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you put Michael Brantley. Yeah. Carlos Correa, though, is going to see pitches between one and three, and that's good. A good hitting Carlos Correa makes the Astros a different.
They're a different animal. I don't love Alvarez, Gurriel, Brantley, Tucker because that is three out of four left-handers. So you know you're going to see Alvarez and Yuli. Alvarez, Brantley, and Tucker are all going to see a lefty. And it'll benefit Yuli because the lefty reliever will come in. But I'm not crazy about – you got three – Brantley in the two-hole breaks it up. So left it goes righty, lefty, righty, lefty. Yuli makes it righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty. And then Correa righty, and then Tucker lefty. It breaks up the lineup much better if Brantley's in the two hole.
By the way, game before, did you notice once again they had Yuli's all time bases loaded stats? I mean, he hits over 530 for his career with bases loaded. He has five career grand slams. That's something I forgot to mention yesterday. It's just unbelievable how deadly he is. If you load the bases with Yuli, you're going to pay. And, of course, he came through with a double the night before. Yesterday, he had two on when he got his base hit in the third. But you have Tucker and Yuli that deep in the lineup.
Did you see the manager, Alex Cora, comes up to argue that his ground rule double shouldn't have scored Alvarez from second?
Yeah, it's solid.
Come on, stop. Stop.
It's a ground rule double.
Did you see the dude get hit in the head with the foul ball?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, fan got hit in the laughing. He was like, got hit in the head with it, and he's laughing. They didn't show it on TV. It wasn't and was never on TV, but there was a woman in a San Diego game that's holding a baby that caught a foul. It caromed, and she was able to catch a foul ball. That was pretty cool yesterday. But I digress. Oda Rizzi, you were not a big fan in the first inning because you sent us.
No.
I think that was ugly. What was it? You said something really, really ugly about
him. I said disgraceful, actually.
Yeah, I said something not great, but he was better. I mean, he's still like a 4.47 ERA is what he did yesterday. Five innings, three runs. It's not do the math on it. It's like, yeah, but for Jake, that's good. I mean, he went to Eric Layden, sent me a text. All right, over under 4 2/3. I said over. I thought he'd get to five innings. Mm-hmm. He said under 4 1/3, and then I was right. He got to five, so he got five innings in. But his stuff, he gave up three runs. You know, for Jake, that's really, really good.
Well, he started slowly again.
We had a bad inning.
And then he caught Bogarts, and Bogarts is one of the best hitters in baseball, so that's okay. Well, Bogarts crushed a ball.
If your offense wasn't rolling, it still could have been a loss giving up three runs. We've seen it where their offense has been in a tank. Right now, they're not in a tank, and they really are the daddies of Boston.
They really are.
They're Boston's daddy right now. That hasn't necessarily been the case at all the time. But
no,
they really. Boston doesn't look like they're in the
2018
same.
2018 was about the only time because otherwise they've been kicking
their ass. Yeah, that's true. Boston doesn't even seem like they're in the same neighborhood with the Houston Astros right now. But the Astros' bats are really rolling. The starters look good. And for Jake, you know, he was up high in the zone, but he was hitting corners. He wasn't leaving the ball over the middle of the plate. He had a sneaky good fastball. He had some he had movement on his fastball. He must throw a two-seamer. And then he had a little bit of late break on a slider. So, I mean, his stuff was much better than it has been over the last, you know, certainly than last game. It looked better. And then the Red Sox just didn't do a lot with it. They got two in the first. As you mentioned, they picked up one more on him, gave you five. And then you had, you know, this is the big advantage you have. One pitcher, you get a lead, and one pitcher, Christian Javier, gets a save because he went four innings.
Right.
He went four innings and... that's just unbelievable to have a guy
one
like
hit,
Javier in the
47 pitches over four innings,
which is nothing for
three
a
strikeouts,
starter.
No walks. He had one runner. He looked pretty damn good now. He looked pretty damn good.
That's just super valuable to have a guy like that who can be on the back end of an Odorizzi start or the back end of, well, back end of anybody's start. Yeah.
Well, but now he's got to sit for three days or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, after throwing four innings. So, but that's okay. I mean, I don't.
You got
and listen, when Garcia goes to the pen after the, because Garcia, let's face it, as much as we're gonna complain about this, Garcia's going to the pen.
Why?
Because Odorizzi's got more big league.
No, partner. No, that doesn't matter. Odorizzi's not as good a pitcher.
Yeah, I know.
There's not.
We're gonna use Garcia like this, like we're using Javier.
But why? You haven't given me a good reason. Well, like why?
Because Odorizzi's got more.
No.
Baseball
who's
time
the better in. Pitcher?
I don't think there's any question who the better pitcher is, but that's still not going to be the case.
Okay, this doesn't make sense other than saying
running Miles Straw out every day doesn't make sense.
We
either.
Need Garcia. Okay. You need to stop slandering that man. He's produced in this series. He's been good
has
in this series.
He? Yeah. Are you though?
Yeah, he ran one down in
his
center
OPS
field.
Is over 600.
He ran one down. He ran one down in center field. Like you need to just get off the Straw train.
Yeah,
give him a little break. But this is a bigger deal than Miles Straw. This is, you're taking out arguably the second hottest pitcher on your team. Arguably the hottest pitcher actually on the team is Garcia. Now, yep. I can't even say Fromber.
Five straight wins, yeah.
Fromber's great, but, I mean, Fromber has just come back.
Yeah.
This is the hottest pitcher on your team, and you're saying, okay, get to the bullpen. It's kind of a bad look, number one. And number two, the only advantage is if he can get warmed up relatively quickly, you know, having that type of arm in the bullpen is an advantage,
mm-hmm.
certainly. But, if Odorizzi can pitch like yesterday, which is to say, okay, he didn't get to a quality start, but for him, I'll call it an Odorizzi quality start, then
it's an Odorizzi quality start if he goes five and gives up three?
Six,
okay.
Instead of three and six.
No, we're not changing what a quality start
five,
is.
Yeah, there's soft sweeps and there's OQS. And OQS is five innings and three runs or less. That's an Odorizzi quality start.
Huh.
Don't worry. There's lots of Astros who could. Zach Greinke gets those OQSs sometimes. That's the new way that you handle pitching staffs. So it's not like there's not a lot of pitchers just going five. That is kind of a reality of today's baseball is they just don't. The pitch counts get a lot deeper because there's a lot less pitching to contact and a lot more swing and miss. A lot more swing and miss, a lot more strikeouts, a lot more pitches. That's just how it is. And the Astros are good at striking people out, and they're the best in the league, again, for not striking out. Did you see that? Once again, the Astros.
Well, it's because of the trash cans. Listen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and all of this crap going on, I keep thinking, maybe these guys, are they cheating now? Are they cheating in Boston
with video?
Are you
really thinking that?
No, I'm saying, maybe they can actually hit. Maybe all of this crap that everybody, and maybe they did, they tried to get an advantage and all of that stuff. But guess what? Look at this team, and it's not even as good as the 17 team, and yet this offense is incredible. It's had its lulls, but it is incredible. Look at how this is the best hitting team in baseball. Stop with the, they had it. If it wasn't for their cheating, they would. This team can hit. These guys are unbelievable hitters. And all these smooth swings and comfortable at bats that they've had in 2017. They look pretty damn comfortable to me right now.
They're not expanding their strike zone. The secret to the Astros' success is they don't chase bad pitches. As a team, they generally speaking have a phenomenal understanding of the strike zone. They don't go fishing. They just don't. Did you see when they Yordan, Evalde threw Yordan three or four straight pitches that were just inner portion, and he never chased on any.
Because he knew what was coming, Lance. He knew what was coming.
I think he just knows the strike zone.
7:30.
And you know what? If they're cheating, I don't care anymore. Since y'all don't care about anything, I don't care either.
No, I don't care if they're cheating.
I don't care. The Astros can bang whatever they want to. They can put whatever they want to on their glove. They can put whatever they want to. Since your teams do it and you don't care, and that's not considered cheating.
No, baseball doesn't care about that.
I don't care.
They don't care about
I don't care about
Pine Tack or whatever the hell it is.
Spider Tack.
Spider Tack. They don't care. 7:31 ESPN 97.5. You know who cares? Jeff Aronoff. He cares about what you need to make your house or your business better. Make it bigger, better, make it look awesome. Improve the value. If you haven't done anything to your home in years, I mean, I don't know how long you've been at your home or your business. And if you haven't updated, if you haven't remodeled, if you haven't made it look better, it looks old. And guess what's going to happen? It ain't going to sell. Or you ain't going to have clients coming because this place is kind of raggedy. You make it new, make it nice, make it look great, make it look rich. Marble and granite and tile and even rock makes a huge difference in the appearance and the perception of your business or your home. And so if you're ever going to sell this thing, that's the biggest investment you've ever had in your life is your home. In a lot of cases, that's the biggest investment that you've ever had. Well, guess what? You got to keep it up. You got to make it look good. You got to update it. You got to do all of these things. And Jeff Aronoff is here for you. Give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:34 on ESPN 97.5. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here. Astros, the big win yesterday. Texans were a big story because they canceled minicamp. This is a big story.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
I don't think he has to go to rehab, Del. Your theory on this.
Look, it's a journey for guys when they're or just people in general when they're trying to overcome things. He may very well have had a relapse.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he gets the help he needs. I understand the cover story of, oh, we got with the veterans. You already know that's crap because there's no real team leaders on this team that anyone should be respecting. That they should actually be having conversations about cutting practice time. So just realize that the man admitted a problem earlier in camp, and I'm glad he's getting the help he needs. Is he at Shady Acres, do you think?
Stop. He's not.
Is he going to Palm Springs?
He's a Mexican food junkie, okay?
Did he say that here?
Out of context.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
you're taking that whole thing. See, that's what's wrong with the media today.
Okay.
Okay. You're trying to use it to your advantage to prove a point.
And you know he has a problem because he speaks in the third person, so he's disassociating himself almost from his problem. He thinks he's not talking about himself, so I'm glad. Coach, you were disrespecting by calling him Bo. I'm going to call him Coach. Gets the LP needs because we need him in prime form for this 3-14 season coming up.
So the other big story was the NBA playoffs last night.
Was
Chris
it a
Paul.
Big story?
Well, not really. It's another crappy game.
We've had one good game.
One good
in
game.
The second round, right?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, in the first round, it was like 90% were crap games.
Well, we're on that path right now, too.
Or worse. So, another bad game. Chris Paul, looks that team looks great. And you mentioned it. Those fans, I lived in Phoenix for a few years. It is the Valley of the Sun, and they love their basketball
team.
These
have been the easiest minus 5.5 for both games in a row for the Suns have been the easiest plays in the world. Once you saw how the Lakers even complained about how many fans were in Phoenix versus how many they had, but there's nothing. What can the league do? League can't do anything about it.
And it was the same in Utah the other night, too.
And it was super loud. Yeah. Watching the fans get hyped against the Lakers, I just realized, man, this is a massive home court advantage. And once they get rolling on you, they just overwhelm the Nuggets. And Michael Malone said the Nuggets quit. Like the coach. That for him to say that publicly, that's something you better have a lot of confidence that your team is going to respond, because for you to say your team quit, which if they did and it's true, you know, you want to make sure you don't have any babies on the team because they might just, you know, kind of fuss in the next game that you said that publicly and showed them up. But I think we'll see the Nuggets. I do think that the Nuggets will win the next one because away from Phoenix, I'm kind of curious to see what type of team Phoenix is going to be away. But right now, Chris Paul is just on a run. I mean, he had a phenomenal fourth quarter in game one. In game two, he controlled the game as a
as a lead guard with setting up. He had 15 assists, 17 points. But, I mean, he just really ran the offense effectively. And Devin Booker has benefited. I talked to somebody who was a Phoenix Suns fan last night. We were talking about something else, and she was, you know, she was talking about the fact that she grew up a Bulls fan, a Jordan fan. She's from Chicago. And she said, it is so much fun watching Phoenix. It's so much fun. She sat on the front. She sat on the court. She got a ticket from a guy who plays for the Lakers, a guy who's on the bench, McKinley or whatever. I don't know.
McKinney?
Yeah.
I think he's a former Warrior. Yeah.
I think I know so her brother is good friends with him. So he got them tickets in L.A. so that they could watch the game. And there's only 7,500 people allowed in L.A. So she got tickets, and it's like, oh, my gosh, we're on the front row. And she said, it's super quiet. You can literally hear everything that's going on the floor, everything, on our side of the floor and the other side of the floor. She said this is the most surreal thing I've ever heard of. Chris Paul got into, and you need to tell Wendy this, Chris Paul got into a trash-talking thing with Vera Wang. Vera Wang, the famous dressmaker, one of the most famous people in fashion. Vera Wang and her husband were trash talking Chris Paul, and Chris Paul hit a three and turned to her and said, I effing do this. And was beating on his, like, right in her face. And I'm like, Chris Paul and Vera Wang were trash talking? She said, yes. It was the most insane thing I've ever seen. And then she said he started trash talking LeBron, and he and LeBron are friends. But he just said, I'm back, bitch. I'm back, bitch. He kept saying that to LeBron. And then he was saying, you ain't bleep, LeBron. You ain't bleep. And LeBron just kind of melted. He said LeBron didn't have any answer. He was just trash.
Was it game six?
Trash talking.
If it was game six, LeBron should have said nothing because they're in the middle getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, I think it was. But it was she just said watching Chris, like, she had this unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, though. They go from lottery team to possible Western Conference or even NBA finalist. Yeah. This dude, he changes teams.
Oh, no, he did. I mean,
he changes an entire organization.
Devin was able to he's able to take a little something off Devin Booker's plate. The same way he was able to take something off James's plate.
Mm-hmm.
When he was at his best, when they needed points, they needed a go-to guy, Chris Paul would deliver. A lot of times with mid-range game. And Chris Paul was the perfect complement to James. It's just James is just too hard to deal with. And Chris can be a little much, too. He's for today's player, Chris's style is more 90s basketball in terms of how he approaches things, the dog nature. He's not friends with guys around the league because he's a big competitor. That's not really basketball today, but it's also why Chris probably still excels. But his ability to change, to give Oklahoma City a chance last year, to do what he's done in Phoenix, the Rockets had their best winning season in history. 65 when he was there. I mean, this kind of stuff, going from New Orleans over to the Clippers, it's just not an accident. That's why I want Chris Paul to get his just due by getting to an NBA Finals. I don't think they'll beat James Harden and the Nets, and I do think the Nets will be there. I don't think anyone's beating the
Nets. I think Phoenix and Utah can be a great series.
What do you well, Chris Paul is, he'll be 36, playing at 36 age year. Actually, 36 now. So almost the entire next season, he'll be 36, 37 in the playoffs. He's got a player option for 44.2. People think he'll opt out to get his final longer term deal. If you're the Suns or any team, what are you giving Chris Paul in years and money?
That sucks. I guess you have to give him the same what he's making. Like, you have to.
People think he'll get less, but he'll get more guaranteed money because it's longer years.
That should be
what
happens.
How many years do you want to be attached to him?
Well, this is the thing. If you're the Suns and you have this great year, what are you giving Chris Paul to stay?
So here's what I do. I give him an extension right now for 2 more years, and you know that there's a good chance that one of them is going to be a really bad money year, and see if he'll take 35 million a year.
So if he asks
3 more years?
People think he's going to opt out.
Well, he has one next year, so you give him a 2-year extension.
The thing is, people believe he'll opt out of that to try to get a full 3-year deal. So if let's say Chris Paul goes 44, which would be great, but I'm going to opt out. Look at the year I had. Look, we're a great team. Let's say they make it to the conference finals, NBA finals, whatever. Would you say if he goes,
I want
135 over 3?
I just can't do it.
If he gets out of the last year of this one?
Yeah, that's what he would do.
You know what, though? Here's the thing about Chris Paul's game. It's not like he's using athleticism. He's beating you with his head. He's beating you with his shot. He's beating you because he knows basketball better than you do.
But, John, don't you think next year, I'll predict right now, Chris Paul misses 25 games next year. Like, it's time for Chris Paul to miss games.
To start missing games, yeah.
Especially at this age and the amount of time he's putting in this year.
You got to give him credit, though. I mean, he's been there for the most part.
He works his ass off. Yeah. I'm not saying he doesn't.
But I'm less worried about him than I am, you know, than you would be about a Dominique Wilkins, who was all athleticism. And you know what? At 37 years old and 38 years old, you're like, you ain't got that no more.
What about the breakdown factor? I'm not talking
about... Well, I mean, you always got that. Giving him this deal, bringing him in now, you'd have to worry about that. You're just going to have to worry about that.
Yeah, but it's worse when you're guaranteeing $105 million.
Well, they've had to guarantee him...
Well, this is 60-some that they've guaranteed him already. Yeah, this year's...
No, but this is 40, when he's going to be 38 years
old. Well, this year is 41 plus, and if let's just say he didn't opt out, next year would be 44, so that'd be 85.
So it's $85 million you've had to guarantee.
No, but I mean, he's 35. Yeah. I'm talking about moving forward. This is going to move... His physical breakdown, like most players, is going to happen fairly quickly.
Well, if the Suns were not relevant, not a playoff team, and he's turned them into this, are you just suffer the final year of the deal for the next 2 years of being relevant? That's what you're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, you've got a lot to figure out on that plate. When we come back, the Rockets have a chance to get out from under a huge deal. If this story is correct, we'll tell you on the other side. But first, you guys are taking jabs at Chris Paul, and that's unfortunate.
No, I love Chris Paul. If there was a website, I would have Site Jab build a Chris Paul fan site. It'd be a Chris Paul stan site, and you could sign up for newsletters, and we'd have e-currency for you to send me your money and things like that. Videos, I'd have them handle my social media, all of my video branding. That's what Site Jab would do for me for that site if I had that site, because that's what they do. They're more than building custom websites, although the custom website is a really big deal, because understanding what it is that viewers are and consumers, you know, how long they're staying on sites. These are the analytics that they're taking a look at. They want to know how long they stay on the sites, what pages are the stickiest, and they want to help you with your user interface so that your UI and your UX, so that you are able to convert the eyes into actual leads. And then you close those leads and it turns into cash. And that's what we're talking about. That's what you're here for, is the small to medium-sized businesses making their websites, making your website a great commercial for your business. And the best way to do that is with a company who knows exactly what they're doing. If you don't believe me, go to their site at sitejab.com and take a look at some of the work they've done for other businesses here in the Houston area. Sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com. Go to the website to sign up for your consultation today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so Evan Massey of Hoop Analysis. And it's not exactly Woj. It's Evan Massey of Hoop Analysis. But...
He analyzes basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know how I know? Hoop, meaning basketball, analysis, obviously, to analyze. So if you put them together, the root word, it's Latin, hoop, meaning basketball. Mm. So it means, what I can ascertain is it means he's a basketball analyst. And who's he write for?
Yeah, no, that's the name of
what
the... Hoop Analysis is the name of the, of the site.
So it's a pretty big deal. That's all they do.
Talk about hoops. Yes.
This guy sounds like a... Okay, what's he say?
I think your breakdown of it is accurate.
Actually, very insightful, to be honest with you.
Thanks, guys.
Neat stuff. So, he says the Knicks have some level interest in John Wall.
Yeah, for
Houston
sure.
Houston would love to move him and get something of value for him. he isn't a long-term fit for the Rockets. And if New York really wants him, they have the pieces to get a deal done. Wall isn't their top priority this offseason, but he could be an excellent fallback option, and the interest is there. I would say 1,000%. He's got $91 million left on a two-year deal. That hurts. The Knicks only have $54.8 million on the books right now, and the cap is going to be $109 million, so he fits right in there perfectly.
So
just right in there.
Now, Massey was, if you want to talk about validity, when people were wondering if Oladipo would go someplace, he did report before the trade came down that the Heat and the Rockets are talking when the Oladipo front was quiet. So he may have some insight into things going on in the NBA because he kind of predicted that before it happened. But you think John Wall's a fit for Tom Thibodeau, a guy who loves guys to play like 40 minutes a night? You think that fits right in
with what Thibodeau
enjoys and,
what are you talking
and
about?
Pushes for?
Why would you? I mean,
he had R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle.
Thibodeau is listening to this.
What do you mean? Okay, sure. He had Barrett and Randle in the minutes leaders category because, you know, he loves to play his guys and as many minutes as they can for as many games as they can. Does John Wall fit that profile?
Perfect. I don't think it gets any better.
So you think the Knicks will just take on a salary and won't send anything back? They'll just take it in?
No, they got to send something back.
Why? They got all that cap space. Can't the Rockets just give them away?
Yeah, they've got cap space. So I don't think you have to make it since one team has got so much, you don't have to make it. But they got to send good young players too.
Why? What young players would you like from the Knicks?
Well, he's not a fit with us. He could be a fit with the Knicks.
How so?
No, he's a perfect fit. Yeah. He and Derrick Rose together?
You mean, oh, my God. You got an MVP and another guy who was an all-star?
And then feed Julius Randle? I mean, it's unbelievable how this works out.
They're starting to put together a Knicks super team.
Is that
the big three?
No. When Derek was Derrick Rose an MVP? Back
it
in 2000?
2011.
Yeah.
Yeah. Derrick Rose, John Wall, and Julius Randle. Is this a big three?
No.
Are we on the verge of the next big three?
No, you're not. Yeah. By the way, Julius Randle, I believe, and Derrick Rose are free agents. So the Knicks, yes, sure, they have money, but they have to decide who they want to. You know, they might want to bring back Julius Randle. If he wants the max, some of that money will go away. I think you guys are maybe deluding yourselves into thinking that, that the Knicks will give you anything back for John Wall.
Well, I don't want anything. We don't need anything. Just take him.
Okay.
Don't need him. RJ Barrett would be nice.
And one correction, the Julius Randle thing is he's got a partially guaranteed deal for the final year of his deal, which speaks to what people thought of him before he signed the deal.
And then he turned into an all-star.
Yeah, so they may get him an extension that eats up some cap space, but who knows? I don't know.
So I'm talking about what could poo-poo this deal,
I'm just trying to figure out. I'm just trying to figure out what the Rockets would get back for John Wall.
I don't care. Just take him. We don't care if we get anything back.
So you think the Knicks would just bring on $41 million in salary?
Yes, they want it. They need him. They're way under the cap. They need to spend money.
I'm just going to say he'll be the fallest of all fallback options. Mm. Like if nothing works out for them, they think, hey, John Wall, you know, play. Get him in here for 35 games a year. That'd be great.
I'd love to just have John Wall off your team.
Oh, my gosh.
No offense, John. You just don't play.
He's not around. Yeah, he's not around.
Don't play. It's not that he's a bad basketball player.
He averaged 20 points, and they won 4 games while he was on the court. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Honestly. Please. John Wall. Knicks, I think he's a perfect fit in New York. Big star. They love that. They made the playoffs. You added John Wall to that mix. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. They're probably a contender now. They can beat Brooklyn.
You mean the team who got eviscerated by the Hawks? Yeah. They add John Wall and they
but
become
look
a contender.
At the Hawks then now fighting tooth and nail. I mean, he puts you over the top.
The top of what?
The Hawks. Put you over the top of the Hawks.
Huh. You know, the Hawks played most of that series without two of their better wing players, and you think adding John Wall is going to help?
Adding John Wall is the difference.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You have an interesting way of building a basketball team.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably general manage the Knicks.
As long as you were making trades to help the Rockets from the Knicks' perspective.
That's it.
Yes.
Didn't Jerry West always help? Didn't Kevin McHale help out the Celtics when he was in Minnesota? Yeah. Didn't Jerry West help out the Lakers when he was with the...
I still don't see any trades that makes the Rockets better. Like, getting rid of a player, no one's going to give you good people for
John Wall. It's just another shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. You just take your card here. It's like, what is it called? The white elephant present thing switch where you swap your present, only it's the you get the crappy present. Like John Wall is the
bad Santa, it's called, or something.
The heated, I don't know if that's what it's called, but the heated blanket in the city like Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's your heated blanket. Oh, sweet.
The Rockets have done a point guard swap for the last 3 years, and they've lost every swap.
They always downgrade.
They always do.
That's not great.
They downgrade their version.
That's not great.
No.
Well, Chris Paul can't play, so they had to get
rid of
him.
And they had to send picks to get rid of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, multiple picks. By the way, that Oklahoma City, that was the worst deal
James
ever.
James is never going to win was the general worst, manager of the year.
That was the worst deal ever, the Chris Paul deal. Yeah. We keep talking about the James Harden. The Chris Paul deal is just a killer. It stabs you in the eye.
The Chris Paul deal not only put a nail in the coffin of your ability to compete, it literally puts you in that coffin where you can't get out. Your organization is dead. You have to rebuild from the studs. You have to tear it down. That's what they're going to have to do. That's what they're in the process of doing. It gave you no chance to keep things alive. And it's because James wanted him gone. So James didn't win Executive of the Year that year. That's not a surprise. And nor did Daryl.
If you don't keep this pick, that trade completely buries you. If you don't keep this pick for the lottery.
Del, can you tell me what Loki is?
Yeah, thanks about that. Thanks
Del, what does Loki mean?
I'm just pointing out the Chris Paul trade isn't over for you, by the way. It could get even worse.
No. If they don't get this top four, how bad is that?
No, it could.
Plus, there are more swaps with Oklahoma City.
Yes, and if how protected are they? Because the Rockets got a chance to be bad next year too. So I'm trying to figure out the protections on. But this is the one that matters the most.
Yeah, you got to get that one. Del, who is Loki?
Loki is a character in the Marvel universe.
Who is he? What does he do?
He's Thor's brother. He's a trickster.
He's a trickster.
He's the god of not like Raheel's
wife.
No. Oh. He commits mass murder. I don't know if she's done that.
Loki does?
Yes. God of Mischief is his kind of his title.
So he's a good guy?
He's an anti... Currently, he's an anti-hero, but he's dead in the current timeline. But this is... I don't want to get into the nerd stuff, but
so
they made...
So Matt Damon is going to play him?
No, he's not.
He's not?
He's not playing Loki. Matt Damon played Loki in a play in the movie. Like he did a guest appearance in the movie, and he played Loki in a play. But no... It's still Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Don't know anything.
I recognize this guy.
Yeah,
Tom Hiddleston. Yeah, he was the guy behind the counter at the hotel.
Yes, the what's it called? The hotel manager. What was it called?
It was the hotel manager.
It might have been. Yeah, that's guy. Him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's 7:57 ESPN 97.5. 7:37
It was a Jimmy
the night
Kimmel
manager.
3776. We'll get back to the Texans on the other side and how what a wonderful organization and how just perfect every decision they make is just awesome. Next, don't go anywhere.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.